Dearest Christ Jesus, you are the way, you are the light. May we remember this through life's dark tunnels. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim.
It looks like it says dork tunnels.
We know it says dork tunnels!
The A and the R are overlapping.
You know what?
Averlapping.
I asked if he wanted me to type it out so we can print it.
Actually, when I was at Comic-Con, I was like, Lord, please, get me out of these dork tunnels. I am feeling claustrophobic.
And when you were at an Irish restaurant, you were like, lard, please. Get this lard away from me. I don't know why I went. Because they say, that's how they say lord. And also, it's like a food that we have.
I think we understood it.
Does everybody? I just want to make sure everybody. If you weren't listening to the whole thing, I said it twice.
So if you have the under on Mike's comedy neuroses, you're up ahead. Welcome to the Keith and the Girl Comedy Talk Show. Find us on keithandthegirl.com or on iTunes. And allow me to say this right away. Today's show is brought to you by Two Birds, One Blog. Two Birds, One Blog is an award-winning comedy blog known as the thinking man's Beavis and Butthead. Visit twobirdsoneblog.com. It's better than working.
Can I say that I think that Beavis and Butthead are actually the thinking man's Beavis and Butthead?
Obviously, you haven't visited Two Birds, One Blog.
No, that's definitely true. I'm really interested in finding out how much more thinking they're doing.
Well, now we know what you're doing after the show.
Ready for today's Only in New York?
Yes.
All right. The great Cindy Adams. Things that happen only in New York. Yesterday's column. Examined as always by more editors than proofread Obama's speeches. Developed a computer typo.
Does she have these facts? More people than edit Obama's?
I think that's an exaggeration.
It seems that way sometimes. They look at my column and go, what the fuck? Anyway, Dan Aykroyd's name came out misspelled. I love Dan Aykroyd. I will adore Dan Aykroyd's voice in the soon-due animation movie Yogi Bear. I will now take the only remedial route open to me. I will slap our computer in its keys. Only in New York, kids. Only in New York.
What? So only in New York, people misspell things?
Yeah, is she talking about?
Who knows what the fuck she's talking about?
There's a movie coming out. Only in New York? That's not true either.
You know what they're also talking about is how, printed magazines and newspapers are having a hard time with their circulation. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, with this gem kind of shit being pushed out, like, no, everybody likes Cindy Adams. She's a classic.
Is she not, but does she not have an online presence also that's annoying? Probably.
Maybe, but I think if you just recycle these old people just because people are used to seeing them there, it might not be good business.
Oh, no, I'm saying it's good. No.
Computers aren't for me. I'm more a pen and paper kind of gal. I like the printed page, the ink. One day my dog Jazzy ate all my ink. I wrote with her head. You never quit in this business. You don't take breaks.
She is a pro. Now I get it.
I am what they call a pro. I can't believe they hire me.
You know, McBain is saying it sounds like Cindy Adams is just Harvey Feinstein's pen name. The way you do it.
Do you know why I talk this way, Mike?
I don't know that.
From all the cum I've swallowed.
Oh, is that's Harvey Feinstein now?
That was Keith's dad's...
My dad said that's how we were watching Mrs. Doubtfire as a family. And he said, you know why he talks like that, right? And he's not joking. He's being dead serious. You know, Harvey Feinstein is the makeup guy for Mrs. Doubtfire, right? He works in the theater. And he's just, Harvey Feinstein is playing Harvey Feinstein, quite frankly. He's very flamboyant. But my dad says he talks that way.
Nobody asked why he talks that way.
Do you know why he talks that way? And we're like, we're watching the movie. Maybe it'll go away. It doesn't. He talks that way. Because he swallows sperm. Okay. It's true. We will not engage him. He keeps going. It's true. We're like, all right, thanks, Dad. Do you know what he does? He takes
male penis.
And inserts it into his male rectum.
His own or someone else's?
He will put it in their rectum.
He has several.
Or he will take it into his rectum.
Depends whose penis, whose male penis.
And I go, all right, thanks, Dad. What did I say? That is a word, rectum.
It's funny because I'll tell you why it's funny. that's why a sentence like that will end with, here's the thing I'm going to say, and then the thing that I said I would say. And then I said it. Haven't said anything yet, but the...
Mike Kaplan, everyone.
Right.
Who says his comedy isn't about anything? No, that's Seinfeld. Okay, yeah. Hey, Mike Kaplan, the next nothing. If he were to, like, you would never do that with a woman, not even, mm-hmm. like, you know, do you know why she talks like that? Because she doesn't swallow sperm. Like, that's, right. She has a very lovely voice. And she's very careful to not swallow any of my sperm. But you know what I will do is I will put my penis into her vagina. People will take my male penis and put my male penis into her female vagina.
What you're saying is Keith should have followed it up with, how come mom doesn't talk like that?
Exactly.
Then?
Well, my mom went around the corner and said, just let him watch the movie.
Can I quickly say that this story is one of the many reasons you should pick up Keith's new book. Your dad, and I'm sorry to say this, your dad is some of the highlight in that book. And it's very unfortunate highlights because they're not highlights of your life.
I was hanging out with my chat buddies last night and somebody said, I can't believe that your dad is real. And she said, I mean, I know he's real. I believe you, but I can't believe it.
Right. This is why a lot of people want to meet your dad.
Right.
It's like, no. Mm-mm.
And that's proof that there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
She can't believe a thing that she does indeed believe.
Listen to this. Here's Roka. He's saying, I just got the book. Holy goddamn balls, it's good. The laughed out loud all lunchtime. Look at that. So if you're fired, I apologize.
Or if you had trouble eating, swallowing your food and
he's drooling all over the place.
Gross.
But still, it's still nice. It's still a compliment.
I have food all over the book now.
Well, for those who don't know, keithandthegirl.com/store is the only place to pick it up because we're doing this ourselves. Keith wrote the book, of course, and we bought a whole bunch of copies and are selling it only in our store, our online store, keithandthegirl.com/store. If you didn't get it yet, get it before the first edition is up. And also, you could now get a free T-shirt in our store. All the details for that are on keithandthegirl.com/store.
Also, I might buy up all the books and then sell them at mikekaplan.com/store at a jacked up price. So get them, hurry.
You might as well get them now. Kyle's here, and he's downstairs hearing us right now, and he's cringing. I just Twittered like another batch, you know, it's all around the room right now, but it's very exciting.
Yeah.
I like every day, because I see how many go out. Unlike our first book, a real publisher did that. We do this one ourselves. And now I can see all the orders that go out. It's just exciting. Like, I give it to the post office, and I go, you have to take us. It's your job. And they're like, that's a lot. I'm like, you have to.
I hear that they actually enjoy when, like, if they one person comes in with lots of things. Like, that's better than dealing with lots of people doing one thing each.
Have you been to the post office lately? They do not enjoy anything.
Right.
And I can't blame
Yay!
Them. I was in the post office today, and now because it's right before the holidays, oh, God, you don't want to go there. There's a line every single time, and I'm only going there at this point this morning just to pick up, let's say, if anything's at our P.O. box, but I drop off the mail usually. Luckily, I get to drop it off, and our local post office just leaves one slot thing open. I just drop it off and get the fuck out. But these people, I can't say that the post office workers are nice at all. They're just, right. You know, they're annoyed with you as soon as you get to their window. It's very frustrating. But I got to say, today I was like, wow, you're giving them more of a reason to be annoyed. You know, there's a woman at the window that the post person was already dealing with, right? The woman right beside the window goes, can I just ask you a quick question?
A customer. Right.
But a customer's already getting dealt with. The side customer goes, can I just ask you a quick question? Post office person goes, let me just deal with this so I can do everything one at a time. Okay, well, I was just going to ask you about this because, you know, I really think, you know what I mean?
Okay, I understand that you don't want me to ask you a question, but now I'm just going to tell you
the
question that I was going to ask, but I'm not asking.
Totally.
So don't answer because I'm not asking.
But what it would have been is if the forever stamps are really forever.
Right.
And what colors do you have and can you show them to me real quick?
Not could you show, I mean, I want you to show them to me, but when you have time for me to ask you, I will ask if you can.
Oh, Kyle is writing from downstairs. It's starting to make sense to me while postal workers lose their mind.
Kyle's going crazy.
Oh, you weren't even here. Like, you stepped out of the room for a second, right. And he'll get an order, and he'll just repeat the name over and over again. Like, Mike Kaplan. Mike Kaplan wants a book.
You motherfucker.
It's starting, everybody. I told you.
Okay, Mike Kaplan, you get a book. But it's not like always, you know, like, fuck it. It's not a fuck you. It's like, it's almost like he's got to sing to himself in order to just keep mm-hmm. it going.
Mike Kaplan, you get a book. Right. Mike Kaplan, sending you a book.
Put the boogie book in the envelope.
Totally. And I'm just giggling, and he goes, you think that's funny, Hamna? I'm like, no.
Do you know, in Boston, the post office that I went to, like, really had very pleasant people all the time. I was
good
surprised.
Good for you.
I just wanted, and good for them and the people of that post office.
And do you know, when I was in California visiting my brother, he took me to the post office on purpose to go, look at my post office. I swear to God, he was showing off. He goes, do you see, look at this. This is where you could lean on while you're standing in line. And if you have anything to write, they give you a thing to write on while you're standing in line. And usually, he's not here right now, but usually there's a guy walking around in line going, can I help you with anything? And blah, blah, blah.
And like, a clown suit. Yeah. And magic. And food and money.
Yeah, I've been to these post offices. First of all, you can touch the postman. That's strange to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you showed off in your hometown. Keith was like, watch this. We're about to go in the post office.
And he just touched a guy?
And then, and then we left. And then we go into the bank. Watch this.
Poke.
I can touch anybody.
It's like Facebook, but in real life.
That's real friendship I'm doing. But yeah, we go in and you can lean over, you know. And of course, these are the places where everybody really does know your name.
You lean in over the counter, you're like, psst, come here. I just wanted to show somebody that I could make you come close to my face.
Okay, take care. Yeah, you know, you come in, somebody comes in with three packages and they go, oh, big day today, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Where are these off to?
I was saying I was hanging out with my chat buddies. I was playing some albums I haven't heard yet. You know that song, Airplanes, that you love?
We need to get the airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars.
I really think.
Is that the one with the gunshots?
Wish right now. Wish right now.
No, but they all have gunshots.
Okay.
That's
Paper Planes. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So I think you would like that song, by the way, if you paid attention to the rap. I think you're paying attention to the female singer because you're a female. I'm into it because of the rap. I think it's brilliant.
I understand that, but the female singer is so fucking god-awful. That you can't damn wish right now. So I'm supposed to ignore every time the chorus comes up.
Yeah, just like go to the bathroom or something.
Yeah.
Like, take a break, you know, just make a phone call.
And not only that.
make a 10-second phone call.
Not only that, it's not just her voice. It's the lyrics are god-awful.
Well, look, okay, just because you don't like the lyrics or the sounds making them doesn't mean that you can't enjoy a song.
That's true. I am an asshole.
Well, I don't, you know, so I don't know. But I heard the rest of this album because I dug that song. I love the whole album.
I can't trust you on this. If you like that song, I just have to go bullshit.
So this is like that anti-Amazon thing. If you like this, you probably, I won't like that.
All right, so you will not like B.O.B.'s album. And you probably won't like Nicki Minaj.
I like Nicki Minaj.
Mike heard it right before the show. I love it. It's the chick that's featured on Kanye West's new album. And I liked her there, and so I checked out her CD.
She's a motherfucking monster.
It's great. It is great. Never heard of her. Amazing. And also an album I listened to was The Best of Pink. And I enjoy Pink.
But
I really like this guy.
Do you agree that this was the best?
Well, they try to trick you some of these bests of. The best, she doesn't have, it says greatest hits. And I guess, you know, you can have 10 greatest hits, you can have 20, whatever your greatest hits are, right? But the first half of the album, you recognize every song. Those were hits. The last half is from her last album. And they just throw them on.
Huh.
And it's like, well, you can't fool me. I know these weren't hits. You're just trying to round
it out.
We're
going to make them hits now.
Yeah, you're trying to get me into new stuff. Yeah.
Now, Pink, like Pink, just Pink.
Pink the singer, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that dude.
Were you into her?
Yeah, I enjoy her.
Okay.
She's got some balls on her.
Yeah. I think she could really sing, so I enjoy that. And I think she's like a true performer. She's got a whole bunch of stuff going on, you know. But I don't know why I can't get into her songs. I respect her in a way, you know. But like as an artist and as, you know, a singer and whatever. But it might be because I'm not that into her lyrics.
You feel bad about it?
I just can't get into it, like, you know?
Are you a failure because you can't do that? Or is it you blame her?
Because what? Because I can't get into the song?
Yeah. You think you should?
No, I just think some things are not for me. And, like, I'm not like, oh, why is she so big and blah, blah, blah. Like, she's got a whole bunch of cool shit going on.
I'll tell you why she's big. She does the Circus Delay stuff on stage and doesn't even breathe funny when she's singing.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. She runs down the street on an MTV Awards show singing. Pitch perfect. Pitch perfect. She's amazing. And then she says afterwards, I did not lip sync a second. You're like, amazing. Not chronic liar. Amazing.
There are people who can do that, especially in the shape that she's in. Mm-hmm. She's always in really kick-ass shape. There are people who can run down and still be on pitch, but maybe it should sound more live if she's saying that she's live.
So you think we're being ping-punked?
We're definitely being ping-punked. In fact, I don't know why singers don't do this. Yes, lip sync, you know, lie about it. But maybe in your lip sync, add some fake breaths.
Mm.
In my lip sync, I would deliberately sing one note off.
How to be a better liar.
Yeah.
Maybe not a note off, but I think you're right. I think they should go into the studio and do a, quote, live album.
Yeah, that's...
And run in place
right.
while singing. But, you know, you can, like, whatever you want to do to it, you know, not run in place, but maybe, like,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of movement more than usual. Change. And then they can auto-tune a little bit.
Or make it, you know, make it from the studio album. But one of the lines, just cut it off early. And then you remember, that's when I take the mic away from my mouth. It's like, whoa, I think this is real.
So this is like a whole brand new art of, like, mm-hmm. you know, lie syncing.
Right, yeah. Lie syncing.
And then do the opposite, sell that as your live album because you did do it live.
Right. By the way, Mike Kaplan, how's your last Comic Standing tour going?
It's going good. We're on a little break now. We come back after Christmas.
That's nice.
Yeah, we went from straight, like, beginning of September through Thanksgiving, then we had break from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and then we're back after Christmas all through January, a little into February.
Is that a bad time for shows, Christmas?
Christmas is a good time for Jews to do shows, because Christians all spend time with people who love them. Jews don't have any of those, and they're hired by the comedy clubs, and in exchange for money, which they like, to come in, and they're like, here, would you like more money now, because now we want most of you? Like, the rest of the time, it's like, don't be so Jewish in show business, but finally, a chance for the Jew to shine is
so
Christmas.
You put your atheism in your back pocket for these Christmas shows.
I am culturally Jewish.
Right.
You, of course, you're one of the top five people in Last Comic Standing, so the five of you go on tour. You guys still getting along?
Yeah, I think this break is great for us getting along, definitely.
Right. Now we are.
Yeah, I hardly fight with anyone. No, I mean, it was great while we were on it. Like, Felipe's always just sort of off on his own, like, searching for pot or or losing his ID and needing to show people his pot license in order to get on a plane. And
oh my God.
Which that happened. And articles about himself. Those are his identifications. He's like, look, it's me from Last Comic Standing. And that's happened. That lets him through.
Wow.
Like, he always shows up early, but then and gets it. I mean, I think he has his ID back now, but, yeah, it's nice. It's sort of like a yin yang thing. Like, pot caused him to lose his ID, but now pot allows him to get back on the plane. And
when they ask him, like, I don't know if we can take your marijuana ID as ID, is he touching his breast all nervous?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's him. That's him.
Right.
That's him all the time. You know, that's what you want to do as a comedian, is be the same person you are off stage as on. So,
right. You want it to be honest, and he really is fidgety.
Exactly.
Does he weigh that much in real life?
No. That's an act. That's a suit. Actually, he is Tommy John again with a suit.
I never saw them together.
Yeah.
I never saw them together.
I mean, you might have on the TV, but then, you know, they can do whatever they want.
Right. The we left the place one time and saw one of those comedy barkers on the street.
Oh?
Yeah. Hold on. The cops are coming for me. Everybody quiet.
Oh. When I left Comic-Con. For example, there's in New York, there's a lot of barkers for live comedy shows, but...
And that's a human, not a dog.
Right. Meaning, like, they're trying to get you into their club. And so if you're coming to visit New York, ignore all those guys. Whatever deal they have, it's wrong. So there's this one guy, a couple guys I see after Comic-Con. One comes up to me, hey, do you like comedy? And right away, I'm like, damn you. Damn you for giving comedy a bad name.
Right.
Why can't they get a guy with at least a personality to come up to? Do you like comedy? Yes, Mr. Clipboard. You know, they literally have a clipboard.
Well, that's weird for a guy named Mr. Clipboard. Did he have to go into that business?
Probably.
The clipboard family invented the clipboard, you know, and...
Lauren's advice is to play deaf. But to me, I want to know, now that we've always sort of been in touch with comedians, but now that we know a whole bunch and blah, blah, blah. Okay, what's your lineup tonight? You're trying to sell it to me tonight, right?
Because you're not
lineup?
A liar. You don't want to say, no, I don't like comedy.
Right.
Goodbye. Yeah. I enjoy no humor in life. I am a bad person.
They have a good opening line. How could you say no to that, right?
Yeah.
I said, okay, what's your lineup tonight? And he says, so-and-so, so-and-so, Mike Kaplan. Now, it's a Saturday. I know Mike Kaplan's on tour. I also know that I doubt that he's doing this club. You know, right. He's got a real name for himself. And this club, probably, you know.
I do play some shitholes. Like, I have played comedy club. There is a comedy club in town that is almost has the name And I don't know if that's the one it was, but.
But, I said, okay, who's playing? He said, Mike Kaplan. I said, really? Mike Kaplan, yeah, from Last Comic Standing. And I go, yeah. You sure about that? He's kind of buddies with us. And, you know, it's me, Newsy, and whatever. So he goes, oh, I can call the club if you want. I should probably double check the lineup. You fucking asshole. He's on tour right now. He's not even in New York, you know. And it just, on the one hand, to me, I was like, go, Mike Kaplan. They're using your name as a draw. That's
pretty
fantastic.
Awesome. Pretty
and
awesome.
And then I was like, fuck them. They're using your name as a draw and you're not even here. That's lying. It's manipulating. And it's, you know, it's taking away from Mike in a way.
Yeah. They owe me something.
Exactly.
You wouldn't be funny. Mike shows up and they go, I'm sorry, we're booked. or they run into Mike on the street. It's like, Mike Kaplan's performing tonight.
Yeah. I mean, whenever I run into those.
I bet they would do that. I bet they would go, yeah, Mike Kaplan's on. He can go. Yeah, really? What's he look like?
How much am I getting paid?
Yeah. What time am I due?
Yeah.
When is my set? Obviously, you can't, they're like cockroaches. They're all over the place. You can't avoid them. They will be here long after even comedy shows are here. They'll still be like, do you want to come to this burnt out place where there was comedy? Like, here's what happened. One time, when I have time, I stop and listen to them because, like, that is a better show than some of the shows that they are hawking.
Right.
Like, they're doing a great performance. Like, they're like, we have a great comedy show. I believe it. I believe you believe it. You're really selling me. Like, one time, I'm like, so where is this? What's the big deal? And this one time, they were like, we are doing a taping. It's a live taping of the comedy show. We're taping it for Comedy Central's Premium Blend. And this is last year, say. This is sometime in the past 2 years. Premium Blend went off the air in, I think, 04 or 05, maybe.
Okay.
So definitely, you know, average, at least 5 years ago, this show has not existed anywhere. Maybe they show reruns overseas. They don't retape for those. They just use the same ones they've already taped. Just in case you guys don't know how reruns work.
Other countries.
We got to get some Japanese people to do these jokes for the Japanese audience. But I was like, oh, are you sure? I don't want to just be like, you are a liar, the end. You know, like, I wanted to, we're having fun. I'm like, okay. Because he thinks he's selling me. I'm like, I'm interested. I'm on the hook. I'm like, okay, are you sure it's Premium Blend? Because I watched that show, and I think it's, I don't think they're making new ones anymore. I think it's off the air. He's like, oh, it must be some other Comedy Central thing then that's like that. Oh, like Live at Gotham, I guess. Yes, absolutely. I feel like the Live at Gotham tapings were all done 6 months ago, and they're actually airing them now. It's like, oh, yeah, then it must be, we are taping, and they're like, yeah, we're taping it to send to Comedy Central for consideration for just nothing. Like, I'm like, you could have people on, there may be people on the show that have been on Comedy Central. You could have just said, Comedy Central, like they'll be like, some places will, they'll be like very vague, like Comedy Central Showcase. Oh, Comedy Central's running a showcase? They're not running it. What is happening? We're centrally located, and we're doing a comedy showcase. So
I'm just saying, Comedy Central, I'm just saying, Mike Kaplan, if I said Sopranos, that doesn't mean the Sopranos are behind me. I'm just saying things.
It could just also mean that somebody has a really high voice. Like, why do you think that just because I say one word that means one definite thing that also could mean other things? Like, why are you misinterpreting me? Definitely, if you come to New York and you want to go to comedy shows, like, number one, just ask. You know, you're listening to this show. You have access to comedians via these guys here. And also, you could just go to our websites and, like, email us and be like, hey, where's a show? Like, are you doing a show? And then, like, or, you know, look at people's schedules who you like, see where they are, and go there. And, like, UCB has, like, cheap shows and free shows. Like, there's tons of free shows. Like, people aren't going to make you buy things that you don't want to or have to. Like, I try to alert people to all my shows and let them know, like, here's shows that you would come to if you're not a rich person. Like,
right.
Because that's the thing, is they're just like, they're like, we'll knock down the price from $40 to $25. And like, you go to the club and they're like, oh, you could have just come online and $5 and come home.
Well, you know what? It's when you meet those people, you know, you'd work in an office and your boss is like, I like comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're like, well, no shit. Who doesn't like comedy?
Do you like comedy? Do I like comedy? Have you been following me?
But then you see these barkers on the street saying, you know, we have comedy. And then you go to one of these shitty comedy shows. You think you're seeing a Mike Kaplan. You're not. And then they leave going, hey, I guess I don't like comedy.
Yeah.
I thought everybody liked comedy. I don't.
Yeah, they're giving comedy a bad name because they don't care who they book or what they have. They just want to stuff the crowd.
A really cool thing would be is if you had that experience or pretended to have that experience. And then the next time you go up to this, do you like comedy? And you're like, I'm sorry, I don't like comedy. And they're like, what do you mean you don't like comedy? What made you not like comedy? And they're like, well, one time I went to a show I use the word show loosely, but I was shown something. But it started with a situation like this. I think it might have actually been you. One time you said, do you like comedy? I said, yes. And then I found out that you and I disagreed about what comedy was.
Here's the thing, though. A lot of people don't know about comedy. We know about comedy because that's our life now,
of course.
So we know what shows are going to be good and how you can decipher and who's, you know, been around and whatever it is, we know what to look for, right? There are people, I went to a buddy's, Katie's, improv show.
Right.
And it's new people to improv and blah, blah, blah. And like a mutual buddy of ours was over there and she said, I've never seen anything like this before. I know for a fact this woman grew up in Queens, New York, and just people don't really put that on their radar comedy shows, sketch shows, you know, unless your buddy is in one and goes, can you come to see my show? You know, a lot more people are maybe into, they've seen a play, they've seen a musical, that kind of thing.
Or
you know?
If anything, maybe a famous person, they'll be like, I've seen this guy on the TV.
Right.
Like, I'll go see Seinfeld because I've heard of him. Like, and you don't, I didn't know that comedy existed in like, I thought it was only for famous people. Like,
right.
Like Paul Reiser and, you know, people with sitcoms, you're like, oh, I've seen their comedy special. Like Norm MacDonald's on Saturday Night Live. Right. There he is on Comedy Central. Like I didn't know until I started doing comedy how many places there were comedy to happen.
Our buddy was great. I don't think she was talking about I've never seen such shit before. I think she was talking about I've never seen improv before.
Right.
She's never seen those games before, you know? She's never seen, we can just shout out suggestions, things like that. And I'm like, wow, you're around my age. You've never seen improv before.
It's weird. I mean, has she been to college? Like, is college usually there'll be like an improv group or a sketch group, and like you're at least know, like, oh yeah, I saw these guys do a stupid thing once. Like, but definitely.
Yeah, when I say mutual friend, that was in. We're using things lightly here.
I see. but I was going to say, it's weird though, if people end up at a comedy show and they don't like it or they didn't know what it was, like, this comedian is the worst. And, you know, it's Doug Stanhope. And like, well, maybe you should have done a little research before coming to the show. I feel like I would never go into any situation. Like, I'm not a play connoisseur. But like I've enjoyed the theater at times. Like I have some plays that I've seen, I'm like, those are amazing. And I've seen other shows that I've fallen asleep. Like before I go to a play and like, you know, spend some money, a comedy night out can be a lot of money. Like you're putting into this thing. Like I feel like any reasonable person should like do some research into at least, if not the exact thing you're seeing, like the reputation of the place or, you know, anything as opposed to like, but people come to New York and they're like, you should just go to a comedy show. Any comedy show.
Yeah.
Like to say that I saw that statue and I saw that show. Who cares like about looking at a statue or a show? Like it's like, I did the thing. Check off.
Yeah, you wouldn't pick a movie like that. I'm going to go to the movies. Whatever they're playing is good.
Right.
You know?
One movie ticket, please.
Yeah.
For what? It doesn't matter.
Kenda goes into a music venue. She hears them playing Airplanes. She doesn't leave. I hate music.
Right.
You don't look at a soup can and go, I guess I hate art. Because I don't get a blue fucking soup can.
But I do love soup.
You know what this makes me think of? It's a little different, but I was hearing an interview about a guy that used to be on regular radio. And
Terrestrial
radio, right. And
not E.T.
He was talking about how, you know, it's a scary landscape. You never know when you're going to lose your job. You know, there's no security, that kind of thing. And why a lot of people lost their jobs and basically why radio in general blows balls.
And we've heard a little bit before from, you know, other DJs on the radio, mm-hmm. as soon as, and big, huge DJs, as soon as you find your job, you start looking for another one because you know you might get fired at any minute. It's a very, you know, you're very toss-awayable. What's the word?
Expendable?
Yes. And it doesn't matter.
One syndicated show, for example, and this is the one that was brought up, and I know a lot of our guests go on this show, Bob and Tom.
Yes.
And
huge show.
And I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but a lot of people don't seem to care for this show.
Bob and Tom, by the way, they could be fired, either one of them, at any moment. They're looking for a new job all the time. They're not, but Bob and Tom, I thought that was what we were saying.
That Bob and Tom are nervous about their career?
Yeah, that is the joke that I was going for there, every radio DJ is always nervous about getting fired, even Bob and Tom from the Bob and Tom show.
Well, I'm saying I think they seem to be doing okay, but they're...
Oh, yeah, they're doing great. They're fine. They're millionaires.
So they get syndicated, right? And so a radio station that does have somebody that you might really like, well, you have to pay them, of course. They have to eat. They have to provide for their family. Well, it's cheaper, even if a radio station doesn't care for a Bob and Tom, people are going to listen to whatever's on their local radio station. So they can cheaply get a Bob and Tom and fire the guy that really does cost money, because when you pay, you know, one station is paying a cheap amount, that's just gravy for Bob and Tom. They don't really care.
Bob and Tom have their set job in their set market.
Right.
So any additional airplay that they get doesn't have to be, you know, the amount that a person with just that town's money, like it's your first job. So they already have their salary.
Right.
You don't have to pay an additional salary. You have to pay a bonus to Bob and Tom because...
How are there local dudes at all? Like, why isn't everything syndicated?
Isn't it less and less now?
You know what? It's less and less. It's hard to find. Hard to find local dudes. Yeah. You would have to be in a small town.
Or they're just broke.
Good thing that can't happen with stand-up. Be like... Lewis Black, and all of a sudden, like, we could just, you know, pipe in Lewis Black into all these comedy clubs.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, they would.
But while they're doing it live, you'll still have a job, I guess.
I mean, they did, for that Steve Martin talk at the 92Y, they had that being streamed at different places around the country. Like, people paid $50 to see it live, or like $10 to see it on a screen in another state.
That's cool, though. That's a different story,
but
you know, I think.
They could have had another interview happen in that very live space where...
That's true.
Right.
But that is like an interview. That is like something happening on your local station, I guess. But yeah, I guess I know what you're saying. Sean from Calgary saying, I grew up with my dad in radio. Must have moved 8 times or so in childhood. Switching schools all the time really sucked.
I hear it's like, I mean, you're just kicked out of a market. And I hear that it's almost like being a military kid.
Yeah.
You're going from place to place.
Radio is bad because it makes children sad.
Well, there you go. I didn't know that was a saying, but...
That's why they say it.
They say don't bother living in a house. Most radio people...
By buying a house.
Buying a house. Not even living in a house.
No,
most radio people live in a hotel.
Stay by your car.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Mike's being silly, but this is what I'm hearing.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. Don't bother settling in.
Sorry, I wasn't being... I mean, I guess I wasn't being silly.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't... I thought I was.
Nope.
You must really love radio to do that.
I guess.
Howard Stern talks about how, you know, I didn't expect to be this kind of... thing. I expected to this is just what I wanted to do.
Right.
It's like the only art that doesn't get you paid, you know, because you could be a singer and get paid, you could be a comic and get paid, but...
I hear there are, I've talked to people who are, like, happy in their, you know, their local radio situation. Like, there are people who, you know, in certain markets, I don't know what the circumstances are that make it less risky, you know, if the station is not run by a dick or whatever, or, like, I don't know if it's... I don't know anything about the radio world, but...
Do they have soul in their eyes when you look at them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't...
Take a look.
Okay.
Take a look and report back. Let me mention this, by the way. Speaking of stand-up, my stand-up competition is open. We do this for April 15th. One of the listeners could open up my stand-up show. And all you have to do is submit 2 minutes.
I meant to do that 1 year.
Well, think about it. You're getting there. You're getting up there.
I think I'm kind of done with competitions, so even though this would be a really great honor, right. I'm not sure.
So you send in 2 minutes, MP3, has to be MP3.
Can I send a DVD?
Yes, a DVD in MP3 format.
Can I just show up to your door and just say
and
it to you?
Say it to me if it's an MP3.
What about, okay. I could just write it on a piece of paper as long as it's an MP3?
Just make sure it's MP3 format.
Paper.MP3.
It's that easy. I don't mind. But I have to know that you can follow directions, so I know you're going to be there on time that day.
Right.
So 2 minutes, you send that in. It could be you doing stand-up. It could be you doing it as if you'll do stand-up in your own house. I don't even care. People want doing that. I think I can tell. And then you go up there, and let's say you throw up all over yourself and you run off stage. I have a professional between you and me, so I don't mind.
And when you say 2 minutes, up to 2 minutes.
Up to 2 minutes.
You don't have to have like an exact 2 minute spot.
Could it be more than 2 minutes?
As long as it's an MP3.
Also, they should label it with their name, right? So-and-so stand-up, like Mike Kaplan stand-up, right?
Everyone put Mike Kaplan on it.
Yeah, put your name. It'd be, you know what, when voting comes up, put your name so people can recognize your name.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm going to list it however you, well, when people vote, the audience will vote, I'm going to list it however you labeled it.
Yeah, so it could be a lot of it that came in last year was standupsubmission.mp3, and there were like 20 of those.
Yeah, standup submission.
Which one won? Stand-up submission
4. It was very enjoyable.
That's like that old that you know that joke about the law firm Schwartz.
No,
it's old street joke that that I wrote. And no, it's like somebody calls up a law firm Schwartz. It's like, oh, can I talk to Mr. Schwartz? Oh, he's out of the office right now on business. Oh, can I talk to Mr. Schwartz? He's playing golf. Can I talk to Mr. Schwartz? He's out sick. Can I talk to Mr. Schwartz? Speaking. And so, like, did you like stand-up submission? Nah, a little dirty. Stand-up submission? Nah, not didn't get to the punchline soon enough. Which one won? Stand-up submission.
But I'm excited about it. What's funny is that sometimes people submit their stand-up, and then I'm not a fan of it. And then it's who the fuck are you to judge? fuck you contest. You're not funny anyway. Your show always blew. So I do look forward to that.
You know what else is great? Is that if we have, let's say, a guest on the show, that guest will get an email like, oh, well, I guess you don't like my stand-up submission.
That's some of the worst things that could happen in your head. Like, don't do that, anyone out there. Like, if you've never done stand-up, If you've done stand-up, you know that stand-up's hard and you're bad at it until you're not bad at it. Like, you start bad and you get better, hopefully. But if you haven't done stand-up, know that you're going to be bad and that Keith won't like you. As a person.
Right.
If you think that he's a bad person.
Hey, you know David Hasselhoff had a reality show?
Maybe I know. Did you?
Yeah,
know?
Dancing with the Stars.
With his family. And I don't know, it's something, Meet the Hasselhoff.
I just saw an ad for it.
There were 2 episodes that got canceled already.
Is he not drinking?
That's exciting.
Maybe that's the problem. I would watch a show, him licking a cheeseburger off the floor any day of the week. But this, I don't know. And I'm hearing, you know, and I picture it. I picture him being a control freak and it being scripted. And I understand people saying these reality shows are scripted. Ozzy Osbourne has to get his driver's license. Well, why? That's somebody's idea. But I think that's where the scripting ends. His mumbling isn't him reading a script. But I picture Hasselhoff turning into like a TV show. And then when you see 2 episodes, you're like, no, this cannot be fixed. That's funny.
If they follow you around for that long as a superstar.
You know what? Quite frankly, doing anything. Superstar makes it easier. You're going to interact with people. Something stupid will happen. Somebody will spit on you. They don't like the new Knight Rider. Who knows? But
is there a new Knight Rider?
There was. It was horrendous. I gave it a chance. It was awful.
That was Keith, everybody. That was, just wanted to let you know, that wasn't me doing a Keith impression.
Well,
trying to throw him under the bus. See?
But they can't. They saw the show, and they just hated it. They told him to fuck off.
And I really like these. I'm really enjoying. I think it's great. You're not just doing this. If I wasn't here, you would still be doing it, right?
I would still be doing it.
Yeah. Those are. That's.
Do you want to steal it now?
No, I don't. I don't want to take other people's things that are like things that I do, and I especially don't want to take other people's things that they think are like mine, but are not. I get a lot of a couple. Actually, there's a fan. Somebody named Eric, I think. Who has emailed me a couple times and are like, here's some jokes for you. I'm a Keith and the Girl fan. And they give me jokes that they've written.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, thank you. And the last one, I don't even remember specifically what they were, but they're like word plays, they're puns. And then one that I think they thought was bad. And then they were like, just kidding. And they spelled kidding with Q-Y-D-D-I-N-G. And I was like, I like that. Can I use that?
That's funny. What do you say to that?
I say, thank you.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I do. I mean, I'm really happy that people see my comedy, respond to it, and want to talk to me and share the kind of thing that I am sharing with them.
Like, nervous.
Legitimately.
Nervous seems a big word, but do you get nervous at all that they told you some kind of joke about a bowling alley and you're going to have some kind of story someday about being in a bowling alley, and this guy's going to call you a thief.
Not till now. hadn't thought of it. Hadn't thought of it. Well, that's the beauty of my style of comedy is nobody's telling me stories at all. And like legitimately, I mean, honestly, like short jokes are obviously, I think, there could be two people telling the same one liner more easily than the same long story.
Right.
And as such, like whenever I do hear short jokes, I don't remember them all like exactly all the time. But like when I go to write something, if I'm like, this, you know, I'll be like, I will remember, like, oh, I shouldn't write that joke that I heard. Is this a thing that I've heard? And then I'll go around and ask people, like, is this a joke that came out of my brain, or have you heard it before?
What a pain in the ass this comedy business is. What a pain in the ass.
I hate having to work for my work. Well, that is supposed to be fun.
I guess that's the point.
During our relationship, Henda would say I'm a bad listener, but it's really...
How did you hear that?
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
He remembered.
I remembered, then I heard it. Thank you.
That's the thing I repeated the most, though.
But it was really just to make sure.
You're like the beacon in Lost. Sorry. I don't know if. It's like just play it over and over again. You're a bad listener. You're a bad listener. You're a bad listener. I heard you. I've been saying this for 3 days.
I get it. It's more a defense mechanism to make sure that I don't hear things and think they're my original ideas.
That's the truest, purest art genius would have to be somebody who is an asshole and doesn't listen to anyone.
Well, would you like to hear how Keith is a pure genius artist?
All right, well, thanks for coming, Mike.
Hold on, what happened? I wasn't listening.
No wonder you're broken up.
What? Now that's sad. What happened to my voice?
It turned into Victor Renato. So today, we're doing our work like usual, and this is our last week of shows for 2010, and in 2011, we're going to move to a new studio, but we have the first week in the old studio, just because it's a little easier to move that next weekend. So Keith today goes, hey, Kat, his girlfriend, just had a really great idea for before we move, is we should do a marathon. And I said, my head exploded.
And to sell some of these books, to sell some more books, to sell merchandise, just so the move is easier as well.
Yeah, just to, yeah.
That blew your mind?
It blew my mind, and I'll tell you why. I said, oh, Kat had an idea. And he goes, oh, no, what? Kat had a really brilliant idea. I said, I've been asking you to do a marathon before we leave for months. Like, and you rejected it every single time. Now, I don't know if it's whether, you know, Kat's idea sounds better always, or because the thing is it's fine, you know, to whatever, come up with that idea, fine, and maybe, you know, maybe just it needed one more person for him to go, you know what, all right, this, maybe it is a good idea, that's fine.
One more person for the idea to come out of their vagina.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. It's like, you know what, if everyone thinks, like, oh, maybe it is a good idea. But the fact that he goes, Kat came up with this idea, I said, you don't even remember that I have been telling you that it would be a really great, look, it's a nice goodbye, you know, that we'll never do another show out of this studio. It's a great way, like, we don't want to move all this stuff. Maybe it's a push for our merchandise. Like, all this shit has been written out. I think I IM'd it to him. I think I asked him about it. And it's been several times. Hey. And you know what his response is? Well, maybe at the time I didn't like the idea. And I said, I get that. But you don't even remember. You thought it was Kat's idea. So you don't even remember that I even asked you this.
To be fair, maybe he just got you and Kat confused. Like, she didn't even come up with this idea. Now, in his brain, you're telling him about the idea.
You know what, Mike? Like, it's better that I'm upset with him than Kat's upset with him, so let's just keep it with the other mistake.
Yeah. That's probably... Oh, I forget that people actually get affected by things that people say.
Has this ever happened with Micah, where...
I'm not together with Micah anymore, Keith, so I can't answer that question.
For example, Henda says, oh, Kat gave you that idea. And you just want to go, no? Forget the whole fucking thing?
Could you tell by my tone? I couldn't believe that this was flying out of his mouth. hey, Hamna, Kat had this great idea today. And I'm like, this
I'm
is
excited.
Fantastic. Yeah,
I'm excited. Hey, do you love great ideas? Oh, yeah, I definitely love great ideas. Where do you have a great idea? What kind of great idea can I see?
And poor Kyle.
And I'm building it up. You're going to love this.
Kyle's in the room like, ah, shit.
This is the kind of thing that you will really respond to, I think.
She is so smart.
This will be something that, like, if I could imagine you coming up with something. I could imagine you coming
now,
up with
if
something
only
like this.
You could come up with this, you know, maybe we can have a good show.
But she goes to school and everything. She's educated. Anyway, this is her idea.
Yes. Hey, Kat also had an idea for you to do like a show every April 15th on your birthday.
I'm looking into that.
All right.
I like this idea.
From now on, if I have an idea and he says no, I'm going to be like, oh, it was my idea. So I just, yeah, I just credit where credit is due. Kat emailed me that idea.
I like it. I like it.
Oh my God. I really just didn't know what to say because I feel like you shouldn't hit a retard. You know, it's just...
But sometimes you have to if they're coming at you and because they're strong and you gotta...
Yeah, so before they kill you, you might want to kill them.
And I'm not sure that's relevant here, but...
What's awesome is that Kyle was in the room and I'm like, thank God I have a witness to this nonsense that's happening right now. And like, poor Kyle, we actually like involve him in sometimes. I go, Kyle, come on. He goes, yeah, Keith, that was a douchebag move. And he's not always on my side or always on his side, which is great. And so then Keith goes to the bathroom. He's going to the bathroom. Kyle goes, yeah, you should use some toilet paper when you do that. Kat's suggesting it. And like the rest of the afternoon was everything's a Kat suggestion.
I really needed a Twix. Take a pause. You should be allowed 5 seconds after you say something. You
wouldn't have
Whoa,
remembered after 5 seconds.
When you say...
You still don't remember this.
When you say, it's Kat's idea, I really should be allowed 3 to 5 seconds to go... Forget the whole fucking thing. Something's
abort.
Off.
Like it's like buying insurance in blackjack. You know, like you pay a little money up front, and then if they get blackjack, then you don't lose all. You know, you don't lose everything. You just here you go. Okay, I cut my losses.
I need an eject button in this seat. It's like, oh, Kat had an idea. She I don't know.
Let me tell you how.
Will the new studio have an eject button?
Yes.
Keith doesn't know that he has 5,000 eject buttons throughout our whole fucking relationship, whether it be business or personal.
And eventually, he used one.
I gave him so much hassle that now it's not him or Kat fucking producing this whole marathon right before they go on vacation. So much hassle that somebody else has already sent out an email, is already starting to put together the schedule for it. So it's like, oh, I can't believe I got so much hassle for it. Now I just gotta show up to my marathon.
This is a horrible idea.
I'm sorry that during that last bit of the rant, every time you said hassle, I couldn't listen to you, and you just
she's like Hasselhoff.
That's why. Yeah, I was like, oh my God, why isn't she saying Hoff after hassle 3 times?
But yeah, the tomorrow Micah Fox will be on. Friday is the Katka Award.
Why do you
nominees.
Have to keep doing this?
People are freaking out. We should probably start talking about that.
Well, give me 1 second. Then we're going to come back January 4th. That'll be the marathon. It'll be 30 hours long. And then on the January 7th will be the Katka Awards. And we'll tell you guys who won from the nominations.
Katka.
So just really quick, again, and I'm sorry, Keith, you were right. January 4th, 6 p.m. until January 5th, midnight. And we're going to post the lineup online on keithandthegirl.com/events.
That was Kat's idea.
We've never done that before, but Kat is coming up with some good shit.
I think she's smart.
Kat made me and Micah break up.
She was straight on that one, too.
And she says that we should move in here and start our own show. Can you guys leave this stuff?
Well, and let me say this also, and then we'll get to Mike's pain. Our buddy Scott Sigler, who helped with work with my autobiography, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
Oh, did he live part of your life?
Mm-hmm. His, the last half of the book is his life. I just substitute my name.
Because your life's not over. You got to add something, be like, and then later something else.
Wow, you did all this before 30? I'm like, you read what you read.
Somebody did.
Right. But anyway, he has his books. And if you use code KATG on his website, you've saved some bucks. The website is scottsigler.com/GFL. And you save money for, you know, your Christmas presents. It's hardcover limited edition books signed by him. It's The Rookie and The Starter. GFL stands for Galactic Football League.
So it's some sort of sports?
He says it's a combination of Star Wars meets Any Given Sunday meets The Godfather. And I'll tell you what, I liked all three of those. So I'm in. You get a free ebook download of The Starter if you buy the hardcover alone or as a set, like I said, with The Rookie. Free shipping, free gift wrapping, $3 off one book, $7 off the two-book set. Just use the code KATG, like we said. It's a perfect gift for your sports fan sci-fi nerd.
Is that a person?
Or sci-fi nerd.
Okay.
Only 3,000 copies of each book is printed. They're numbered. The Rookie is almost sold out.
I'm buying the rest.
Once the hardcovers are gone, they're gone. You're having a whole library. His out-of-print books, for example, go for at least $200 on Amazon and eBay. So even if you're just buying to resell it, I say do it.
Wow.
So go to scottsigler.com/GFL. Use code KATG. And if you're like, well, what do I do when Keith and the girl's gone during those 2 weeks? There you go. You got two books. I don't read, but...
But you write.
But I write.
And, how do you tell if you wrote the right thing? Like, I guess I can't.
I read it. No, Kat reads it after.
She knows.
I think it's Kat's idea for you to read it after.
2 years after marriage, by the way, Ryan Reynolds and Scarlett Johansson. I don't think this could
Wait,
even
but
be
these two beautiful people.
Two beautiful
the
people.
The most.
They couldn't make it work out is what I'm saying, Mike. And they broke up after 2 years of marriage. And if they can't make it work...
There should be an Ugly Married Person magazine that just shows all the ugly people who stay together because they have to.
Well, Henda ended up rating Micah Fox.
That's inspiration. Oh, sorry. Go on.
And said, you know, we're just, we sent an email to our friends. And, you know, we're looking for a place in Astoria for a new studio, apartments for ourselves, that kind of thing. Just keep an eye open. If you hear anything, let us know. And Micah wrote back, yeah, me too.
I don't think she used that tone.
It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell sometimes. And then Henda looked at her blog. She's a little detective. And her blog says, social tip number 240, ask a stupid question. Me, I love you. Do you still love me? Boyfriend, I guess. Me, well, your guess is as good as mine. And she put it together. She's very intuitive.
Henda is.
See, I think he's giving me the credit that I don't deserve. So maybe it's just an all-around thing that I just people just get credit in Keith's head. Like it can't be his great idea. So it's got to be somebody else's. Who cares whose?
It's all self-deprecating. He's just
that's true. But I shouldn't take offense. He should take offense.
How long were you and Micah together? 2.5 years or so?
Yes, that is correct.
And what happened?
We stopped being together.
You know what this is? It's so close to the CatGo Awards. They're just trying to sweep the most
shocking,
the most shocking moment in Keith and the Girl.
Nice try.
You got us. you didn't get us. But I mean,
you guys are still living together.
All of our stuff is still in the place that we have lived for the past 2 years.
Are you staying somewhere else?
We have switched off. Like I'm going on the road. I'm going up to Boston tomorrow, so I'm away for the weekend for a bunch of days. I go back on tour at the end of the month. And then in the in-between times, like, sometimes I've crashed with a friend, and sometimes she has crashed with a friend. So, like, we have seen each other. Like, right. It's not like I think we are going to be friends. I think we are still friends. I think there's no breakage in the...
It's amicable now.
Yeah, it is. The whole thing has been amicable. Like, when I said... When the conversation happened...
The whole relationship was amicable. That's the problem.
Yes.
There should have been love involved.
I think that you just trapped me.
Did this conversation happen? I love you. Do you still love me, I guess?
Yes, but it was a joke when it happened.
Was your relationship in a place where you can make these jokes?
I believe it was, but I don't remember specifically.
Right.
If it wasn't, then it was a place where... You know how sometimes at the end of a relationship or in the middle of a relationship, at various points in a relationship, there are conflicts and doubts in one person's head, in both people's heads. Sometimes you share those things. Sometimes you're like, I shouldn't share it now. Sometimes you're like, wait and see, like, if it goes up, if it goes down, like, you know, how things go. Like, sometimes over the course of the relationship, there were some, you know, some things on which Micah and I, like, you know, weren't on the exact same page. And sometimes we would discuss them. And then after that, we'd be like, yes, we are definitely capable and, you know, ready to deal with this head on, move forward. And we felt good. We came together over it. And then just towards the end, basically, you know, same things that were always potential issues just came more to the forefront. And then... Like in my head for some amount of time, and also in hers. I think we went away for Thanksgiving and hung out with her family,
right.
And then we came back, and that
separately.
And then,
you're saying
no, we went
together.
Yeah, we went. This was before we broke up, Mm-hmm. We went there. We had a good time. We saw her family. We went out to L.A. We did some shows. We came back. And then it was just a couple days after that that we had the conversation wherein, like, I wanted to share the things that were in the potential doubts and conflicts in my head. And she said that one of the things that she said was that she had thought about breaking up for similar reasons, like, just before we went on vacation. But that potentially, like, you know, and then the vacation happened. And, like, you know, the various events and things put you in a different state of mind, like, whereas I didn't think so before. I wasn't at the point where I was like, we should have this conversation before we go. I think we both agreed that it shouldn't happen while we were on vacation, because then we would have to fly back together. And that would be...
awkward.
Yeah. Though I know people who have done that.
So that's what happened. So it's like, well, I didn't know you were thinking the same thing. We're both thinking the same thing. Maybe we should end it? Or does somebody have the balls to go, we have to end it? Do you agree?
It was... I mean, I'd say in spirit... more, you know, somewhat mutual, but it was, I'd say, my instigation at this particular time, though right. There were many moments over the relationship where Micah could have been the instigator for similar reason or other.
What, to better yourself, could you have done differently in this relationship? Anything, or you're just not supposed to be together? Is there something, like, I did lack in this area, to be fair?
I honestly don't think that either of us are lacking in anything. I think that there are just specific ways in which... we are not compatible, right. And those are ways in which I wish to be compatible with a person. So, and for both of our sakes, you know, like, we both deserve somebody who matches up with us as much as possible in the ways that we want. And
is she still going to get some last comic standing money?
she'll get. So Felipe got $250,000,
right?
And the rest of the top five got to watch him get it. And,
so she gets to watch as well. So yeah. Yes, the answer is yes.
I mean, you know, like, I'm, we were living together, like, sharing expenses. Like, right now, we're still, you know, paying right. rent to the same thing. It's not like, if she moves out first, I want to help. Like, I would help her move. I would help, you know, take care, like, you know, like, anything. I don't feel like, you know, it's certainly not.
I wonder if that's tough right after a breakup and you're helping somebody move. Maybe you're throwing the boxes down a little too hard.
Well, they're her boxes, so she won't be throwing them down too hard. But you right. think, I would.
Who knows?
I'll
take the vases. Don't worry.
We don't have any vases, so we're all set. Right. We have nothing. The only glass things we have are things that I made at camp years ago. So
is that the plan, her moving out?
We actually are both going to be moving out because we were planning on moving out anyway because our roommate is a guy. He's a nice guy that we didn't necessarily want to live with anymore. And he's also having a friend of his move in a couple months. So the plan was at some point in the next couple months to both leave. And so we're following that plan, both leaving, just going to different places.
All right.
Has this been hard because it's unavoidable. You guys have a similar path, a similar career, not the same. She's more the storyteller than the stand-up, but she does do stand-up. You guys have a lot of mutual friends.
We did show up at the same show a couple nights after, and that will happen. I'm sure. I mean, I've dated a lot of people, and I was married to, like, basically the last four major relationships that I was in were with stand-up. Either stand-ups or sketch people or people that had been in comedy, like, and were connected to it. Like, my ex-wife still does shows. Like, I haven't seen her recently, but, like, after we got divorced, I mean, we would still do shows together. Like, she would have a show and have me on it. Like, and I still like those people. Like, they're good people. They're people mm-hmm. that have, you know, affected my life in a positive way, and I'm happy.
I just, I remember when Keith and I broke up, we couldn't tell anyone, but I have to admit that I would wait to tell people anyway, if it wasn't, you know, contractually obligated. Right. I would wait, who knows, a week, a month, depending who you are, to me. Like, I think I would wait a couple days before I share it with anybody, just because I want to sort of pass over a very specific hump and several humps that you go through during a breakup. It's just heartbreaking in a lot of different ways.
Sure.
And so you guys didn't do that, right?
No, I think that would have made me more uncomfortable. I mean, like, obviously I didn't just run it. I didn't put it on Twitter. I didn't put it on Facebook. I called the people like, you know, I called the people that are closest to me that I wanted to talk about it with, and
not offended.
No, I mean, and now, so I just called, like, you know, my best friend, one of my best friends, that guy, and then this is it. Then your fans, you guys, and your fans are the rest of every. So if ever you don't tell anybody else, because I only wanted to choose anyone who's listening right now. But legitimately, I mean, if there was, I certainly understand, you know, not wanting to tell people or whatever, but then you have people like asking, hey, how's blah, like, what's going on with this? Like, sometimes you just get questions, and like, yeah, obviously if it's a person that I don't think, you know, needs to know or whatever, I like, there's sometimes when I've just been like, you know, fine, we're fine, you know, or she's fine, or I'll pass that message along. Like, I think Lucas, who listens and comes out to shows sometimes pretty frequently, I saw him at your show, I think, was it at your birthday thing, the bingo thing, the other night. And he, like, told me something to tell Micah, and then it was sort of just in really quick passing. I was like, I'm not going to be able to tell. I don't remember what – I'm sorry, we can't – oh, yeah. I was just like, yeah, and – oh, then he was gone. I was like,
because you can actually pass the word. You don't need to go, I would tell her, but you should know that we're broken up, but I'll still pass the message. It becomes a weird, awkward conversation that doesn't need to happen.
But also, I feel bad that – because I feel like I kind of did lie, like, you know, lie of omission to him, even though, you know, I didn't necessarily need to tell him right then. But
I felt that about our relationship. I felt that to my friends a little bit. Like, I know what I'm doing is the right thing, but it's weird. I didn't want to tell my closest friends right away. But yeah, and it does feel weird. Like, when then you do finally tell them, and you're like, I'm sorry. And they're like, well, that's stupid. You don't have to apologize. But like, I don't know. It still feels dumb.
Like, I just wanted to point out, number one, I'm sorry that none of this is funny. I'm working on a lot of jokes about it. So, but I just, obviously, like, a lot of comedians talk about breakups. And you can tell how recent the breakup is by how funny the jokes are, potentially. Because, like, you're like, wow, that is the most hilarious breakup shit that I've ever heard. Then he said it happened last week. No, that probably happened years ago, and he's a liar. So right. Don't listen to that guy. I mean, there are some geniuses out there that talk about their, you know, immediate pain. But
do you guys feel like you need to run the breakup material by each other? Like, oh, is this going to be annoying to you, or is this going to be too much for you to deal with if you were in the audience?
Well, I mean, if they're in the audience, like, I think it's a matter of just, like,
tact
on any, yeah, like, both, I think both of us are reasonable people who are not out to hurt each other, like, by any means, but we're both people that may talk about some of it in, you know, our various arts, yeah. And as such, I think I trust her, certainly, to, you know, not treat me like shit, even though, like, the very day that it happened, like, she was off to an open mic in our neighborhood, and I had a dark, you know, like, image in my head of her right. Like, trashing me to our, you know, various mutual comedian friends or whatever, but then I didn't think that would really happen, and it did not and would not.
You do talk about this on stage a little bit. I got an email, somebody said you're on stage talking about this, but you're not really saying jokes yet.
I've said the thing that I just said to you about comedians telling jokes, which you laughed at, so haha. Sure. I tricked you into thinking it was a joke, and whoever that was who said I'm not telling jokes about it, that's a joke. there is, like, one other thing that I have, so, like, I have some ideas, like, this isn't, you know, sort of my, it felt like the thing to do to just, get it out, and I was doing it, like, at shows where it's not, like, I wouldn't do it at a comedy club where people are paying a lot of money, and I, like, the Comedy Cellar or whatever, even, like, where I'm not, having fully formed ideas are more important there, but, like, at places where it's cool for, you know, people, like, maybe see what will come out of this that is funny and honest, even though that's not normally my comedy is robot.
Was any third party involved in this relationship at all that would make it off kilter?
No.
Okay.
I mean, no. There were at times like. The closest that came to a third party was discussions of, like, hey, if, you know, somebody, one of us is out of town or, you know, we're not in the same place and somebody gets drunk and makes out with a stranger, is that a problem? And the answer is no.
That's not a problem.
Yes, it's not a problem. You don't have to run and...
And then Micah says, good. I have a story about last night, actually.
Exactly. And that was the day that we decided to stop being together. So I forgot about that part. Sorry.
Was it... tell me if this was ever weird. Because I'd hear her say this. Micah's very honest and open. And she would say sometimes that, you know, I'm with Mike and I'm secure, but I don't know if I'll cheat sometime. I might cheat. Now, did she ever tell you that? Because I've heard her say that multiple times, and I always found it strange. I would, like, I don't know. Do I want 100% honesty? Like, I don't know. I might cheat.
Do I want that honesty, or you're saying...
Maybe do you want that honesty? Did you ever hear that? Did that ever rub you the wrong way?
I don't know if I've specifically heard her say that exactly,
right.
But we have had conversations. I mean, like, I definitely now more than ever, like, identify, like, I really appreciate, like, the idea of the polyamorous lifestyle, you know, like, the kind of open relationship where, like, I feel like my ultimate goal, if I, in relationship, is, like, so I've been, like, a serial monogamist for, like, I've been in, right. you know, the past 10 years, relationships constantly, like, one after the other. I've been single for maybe, certainly less than a year, maybe less than 6 months total over the past 10 years. And it's just like, you know, I mean, I've dated some in between relationships, but then I'll just find somebody and be like, yes, this person now. Yeah, and then yes, this person now. Right. And because I think that's, like, humans are a non-monogamous species. Whether it's, you know, you could be with one person. Sorry about that, everybody. I hit one of the things that the sound comes out of. It wasn't actually the mic. It was a microphone. Anyhow.
Full deal.
Sorry, everybody. We're okay. But, I mean, one way of being non-monogamous is serial monogamy. That's, you know, monogamy for a time, but, like, then over the course of your life, you know, it's not one partner. Like, where that's what people, you know, and society and or religion, people say, like, that's the thing that needs to happen, you know? And you're like, well, that's not what is... that's really not natural for the human species. Like, some people can do it. It's certainly... great. If it's your thing, everybody's different. But it's... when people feel bad, they're like, oh, I'm supposed to be able to do this. Like, there is no supposed to. Like, humans and, like, you know, apes or whatever, like, all the animal kingdom has different things. Like, penguins mate for life, but, you know, primates right. don't. Like, basically, the idea that I do like the security and the happiness and the comfort that comes along and all the great things about a long-term relationship. But then, you know, obviously, after a year, after a couple of years, sometimes the initial passion or spark or whatever, that, you know, I think legitimately, chemically, goes away. That's, like, science shows that.
But you should keep that person around, and then you can mess around with other people? Or if you're able to do this and you guys agreed on it, I guess it's over.
Well,
I'll find another best person.
Those are the options.
But there's so many options
right.
these kinds of things. There isn't just I pick one person or I'm forever on the prowl, or like there's not one of two choices. There's not one of three choices. There's a lot of choices. And may I say again, I know I've said this on the show, anyone who is thinking, why can't I do this? Or I'm thinking of doing relationships in general, and you don't have to have an open relationship. But I would say people have to read The Ethical Slut.
Yeah.
And it really, even if you're not into polyamorous,
you can do whatever you want, no matter what, as long as you and the other person communicate about the things that you want and want the same things.
Right. So it's like almost agreeing on a new form of relationship where it's not the whole I can date a lot of people is not I can do whatever I want. That's not the idea. The idea is that we have certain rules, like just like regular monogamous people have certain rules. These are our rules and we set them. And maybe people who are monogamous think that they have set rules, but they don't. They just assume, you know, or maybe the basic things are, well, you don't get to stick your tongue down anybody's throat. You don't get to do this. Like, basically, we're just monogamous physically, but they don't go, it makes me uncomfortable even when you flirt, or like, there should be set rules when you're dating a new person.
Right.
You guys should discuss the rules, even if you know you're going into like, oh, this is just an average relationship. We're not open to anything, you know, out of the ordinary. This would just be a simple thing. We know the rules. You don't know the rules. You're gonna hurt each other. That's what I think.
Like with flirting, like maybe, you know, the rule could even be like, hey, don't flirt with somebody in front of me because that hurts me. But obviously mm-hmm. you're going to be a friendly person when I'm not here. It doesn't hurt me to not see it. Like that kind of thing. The same kind of thing. Like, you know, if you have an open relationship of some kind where you're like, yeah, you can make out with strangers, but you're not just going to do it willy-nilly across the board. Like,
or you might.
I mean, you could, but I mean, like, you probably, like, say you're out to dinner with your primary partner, and then you're like, that girl's hot. I'm going to go over there and make out with her right now. Like, that's,
right.
that, like, it's ridiculous. And people are like, oh, well, don't those relationships not work out very often? Well, number one, most relationships don't work out very often. Most marriages don't last. You know, forever. That's the divorce rate and everything. There are infidelities. Like, so no method is 100% effective. And the thing is that you don't hear about the really successful polyamorous or open relationships because those people, they're sort of in the closet. Like, because they'd be judged. They feel probably, like, their thing is working for them.
And they're then like, when they break up, it's like, well, of course you broke up. Well, no offense, but when me and Keith break up, of course we break up. When Mike and Micah break up, of course they break up. Most people break up.
That's
so if you're
the
gonna
odds.
Go by that. Yeah. But there's also a thing with open relationships, like that somebody can't be offended or hurt or doesn't need this certain stuff. There still could be jealousy, and there still could be all these other human emotions, and you could need reassurance, like, you know what, I know that you're sleeping with other people. I know I said that that's okay. Can you just let me know how you feel about me today? And maybe, you know, for a week, there's this open discussion. It's not just open to your penis and vagina and everything. There's like a dialogue that I think happens, you know, more often, you know, and is necessary.
So are you saying this is your goal? You want to be with your best friend regularly, but you guys can be fully open.
I mean, also the idea that, like I said, when I said the idea that passion, I don't think passion dies after a year. I mean, I think you can still be passionate with somebody. Like, it's just the first, you know, several months to a year of a relationship are like sort of like this sparkling thing that isn't always continued, but that doesn't mean that what continues isn't great, and that you know, obviously you can still have a sexual, physical, emotional, romantic, compatible, passionate relationship on past that point. And I think, I mean, some people, I have a friend, one of my good friends, who was with somebody for 10 years, married for a lot of it, and polyamorous. Like, they had girlfriend, he had a girlfriend on the side at one point, for sometimes he had another girlfriend at another point. Like, she was cool. Like, she was really cool with it, too. Like, I mean, she would, I don't know all the story, right, but she, like, was basically of the opinion, they were both of the opinion, that, like, no one owns anybody. We're individuals. Love begets love. Like, the fact that I love another person doesn't stop me from loving you. Like, it's only a matter of, you know, time and prioritizing. Be like, hey, here's what we do. And then outside of that, like, why does that doesn't affect me? Your relationship with this person doesn't affect our relationship. Or it does in a positive way. Like, it makes you have happy new experiences out there in the world. Like, you meet a new person, you meet a new friend. You come home excited to talk about your new friend and all the ideas that's going on, and that's acceptable. Like, it's basically just opening, I mean, friendships are relationships. So in a sense, like, everybody has some kind of, you know, nobody is everything to everybody.
Can you take that? Can you be home alone knowing your girlfriend is out fucking somebody else?
Yes. But I would also probably go out that night. I would probably try to keep busy as well. Like, I mean, and it's not, that's the
keep
thing.
Keep busy or have to have sex?
No, keep busy, legitimately. Like, if somebody was like, if I was with my partner and they were like, I have a date tonight, I would be like, okay, well, I probably, you know, maybe I would just sit at home and like watch a bunch of stuff and do whatever, like, you know, or live my life in whatever way I wanted to, or go out and do a show or go to a party or go to a bar, hang out with friends. Like, legitimately, I honestly can say that I don't think, you know, if the other person's cool with me being whatever, like, and again, it doesn't have to be, you know, you have to be able to have sex with anybody all the time or right. Get in a relationship all the time. It could be just be like, hey, I'm going to, you know, this is the way I am. And Mike, this is what Mike and I talked about at various points, the idea that, you know, humans are going to be attracted to other humans at various points, even if they're in a relationship. So this is sort of a thing that takes into account, like, what is okay, what is not okay, like, what will make you feel good, what will make you feel bad. Like, the idea is, you know, we care about each other, you know, like, and this is then in general, like, what I want is somebody who understands where I'm coming from, the idea that I don't think I will be able to be with only one person forever.
Have you had sex with Micah after the breakup, and will you?
I have not, and I don't know about the future, but I...
But that's on the table. Like, it's possible.
I don't think... I wouldn't call it on the table. I mean, everything's on the table.
On the bed, you know, anyway.
I was answering sincerely. Look, Keith, don't play with words on me. I honestly don't, like, you know, all we know is what we are now. Like, right now, right. I don't want to get married. I don't want to have kids. I don't think I'll be with one person forever. And even the I don't want to have kids thing is like I have at various points had like twinges of like, oh, maybe with this person. Oh, maybe this person. Like, if I'm with somebody who doesn't want kids, then I'm like, oh, this is cool. Let's keep not wanting them. There's parts of me that are like eventually to have a full human experience. I'm like, maybe. But I don't want to increase the overpopulation problem. I don't want to just do it selfishly because of I want to see what a me will look like, which is not even that's not illegitimate unless you're like, I want to see what 24 me's will look like. Like, you know what I mean? But I definitely adopting is really appealing to me conceptually for a lot of reasons. Because number one of the reasons that I'm sort of afraid to have a kid is just that there's so much out of your control. Like, number one, you have to be a good parent. That's hard. I'm confident that I could do what I could.
This is so, like, I feel like Mike and I have a lot in common in this whole thing. Like, as he's talking about children, I'm like, yes, exactly.
Are you both allowed to see other people tonight?
No.
And I got a couple things to do. But
how did I just get rejected by something I wasn't interested in?
No, well, another time. But no, legitimately, like, you know, you have to do so much to not screw up a kid. I mean, you know, like, kids are resilient. Like, parenting is hard, but you can do it if you, you know, want to and try to. But then there's like, they could get hit by a vehicle or a pedophile or like just the world in general. We don't know what's happening. Like, there's so much that frightens me about, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I'm happy enough. I'm happy that I'm getting to a place where I'm like, I think I'm financially secure for right now and like working on being it in the future. And like, if I got to a point where I was like totally secure, like if something great happened for my career, like total and like, you know, set me for life, then I'd be like, okay, well now I can start thinking about taking care of another thing. And like, adopting is great because like, you take somebody out of a horrible situation. Like, if something horrible happens to that kid, sure, it's very sad, but I'm like, but I didn't make it. I didn't make that happen. You know what I mean? Like, I tried to save the kid from a bad thing happened. It's a wash. We're even. You know what I mean? Like, that universe, why did you do this? But like, no, I mean, legitimately, I'd feel losing your own kid has got to be, I mean, losing an adopted kid too, horrible. It's horrible to lose something, right, somebody that you care about.
I think, yeah, I think it actually is the same thing. It's still something that you're supposed to be taking care of. You have this huge responsibility, whether you made it yourself with, wow, your sperm, you know, or you took it out of, you know, this other situation.
No, I mean, and nobody should ever be that down. If an accident happens and you lose somebody, like, you shouldn't be mad at yourself, like, if you didn't do anything wrong, you know. It's like, oh, I should have told them to walk down a different street that day of two streets that are totally the same. Like, there's no, you know, you can't control everything. But for me, like, I want to hold on to myself for right now. And like, oh, so the point is, I don't know how my feelings will change in the future. Right. You know, like, the next person I meet could be like, I definitely want kids. And I'll be like, well, I definitely want you. And eventually, maybe, you know, like, we'll see what happens. The case.
So you're saying you can change a man?
I'm saying I don't know if you can change a man, but it's one of the possibilities. And, but yeah, as far as, you know, and that's the same thing. Like, I don't foresee Micah and I being together in any in the future currently because of the things, because of our past.
When you guys end it, do you know that, do you remember now, do you know how it ended? Do you know the end conversation? Or do you leave the house and go, yeah, so I guess we're broken up? Or is it, and done?
Was it clear, you're saying?
Was it clear? Is it like, okay, we both agree. Do you shake on it? Are you at work that night and just thinking backstage?
Like, I believe it was Tuesday that we had the main conversation about it.
A week ago.
Yes. A week ago Tuesday. Had like the first conversation about it. And then we went our separate ways for the evening. And then the next day we talked more. And it was, you know, it was still like an extension of the conversation.
Right.
But it was also like sort of like eventually a logistics conversation. Mm. So at that point it was, you know, like, well, should we talk about, you know, who's going to be sleeping in the apartment. And at that point it was like, okay, this is,
right.
That's hands, you know, rubbing themselves clean of,
I get you.
You did it first. I was doing your motion.
Anytime during the last week, are you guys talking? And it's getting a little sweet, or you're sitting a little too close to each other, and you have to catch yourself and go, okay, no, we're done. We got to that point.
No, nothing like that has happened. We have not really spent time together. Okay. Like, you know, we saw each other at a place that we both went to independently, and, you know, chatted while there, but...
Is this because at a talent show recently, she put her naked ass in cake?
Yes.
I knew it. That's not what a lady's supposed to do.
That was one of our unwritten rules that she disrespected me on. And I talked to her that night. I was like, hey, did you put your ass in a cake tonight? Because I smell cake.
Have you cried? Have you cried this week?
I think.
Well, that brings me to this. Dangerous is saying you can't change a man, but Mike could be reprogrammed. Are you a robot?
I think everybody's impressed right now. Mike has feelings. There's emotion. I told him that.
Can I tell you the one joke about my emotions that I wrote about this situation? Mm-hmm. Is like when I say like I did break up. You know, we did break up on like Tuesday, and this is like Friday or Saturday. So what have I been doing for the past 3 days? Is occasionally just swearing into nothingness. because, and like, that's the thing that you can't do when you're with somebody, you know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm finally free, because if you're with somebody, like, what are you doing? You're like, oh, just expressing sadness out loud. Oh, you want me to keep that inside? Fair enough. Like, it's, and it obviously wasn't there. Right. Like, but, like, legit, you know, sometimes things just bubble up and come out, and yes, I am a human being, but, you know, the human brain is a computer, so.
If you think about it. If you think about it. They, on the heels of World AIDS Day, they might have found a way to stop AIDS.
Perfect time for you to lead your
lifestyle
new
of
lifestyle,
sin.
Yes.
Heard about it. Awesome.
It's a stunning medical breakthrough, obviously. Doctors believe an HIV-positive man who underwent a stem cell transplant has been cured as a result of the procedure. He received a transplant in 2007 as part of a lengthy treatment course for leukemia. His doctors recently published a report saying that they strongly suggest that that's the cure for HIV infection. The cure has been achieved. He paves a path for constructing a permanent cure for HIV through genetically engineered stem cells. Last week, Time named another AIDS-related discovery to its list of the top 10 medical breakthroughs of 2010. Recent studies show that healthy individuals who take antitrovirals, you ever hear that word?
How does it spelled?
Long.
Got it.
Virals. Medicine commonly prescribed for treating HIV can reduce their risk of contracting the disease by up to 73%. So whatever this stuff is, antiretrovirals.
Antiretrovirals?
Yes. I got to tell, what is that? Vitamin C? What do I get?
Well,
these?
Retrovirals are just like virals from a long time ago that are cool again. And anti is when you don't like that. When you don't like, it's like when you don't like hipsters because they're into the cool.
All right. So if it's not in aisle 6, I'm not going to find it. But it sounds like you take this when you don't even have HIV.
Yeah, you take. That's the thing. That's the thing that's weird about it. Is like, I mean, the studies that they were like in Africa where everybody just gets AIDS all the time. So right. They're like, hey, everybody, you're in this experiment now, and they give some people the placebo, and they're like, you're just going to get AIDS like you would have, and then they give other people. The thing, and then 73% of those are cool, and then 27% of them are still like, oh, you got AIDS like you would have.
Still, that is an odd experiment to do, because who knows who's, you would have to have a more controlled scientific experiment, like you're sleeping with this person, not, hey, everyone's just sleeping around and you're likely to catch AIDS. I feel like it's...
I mean, in Africa, in some places, it's like half of the people get AIDS, so it's like, I don't think it matters.
Well, USA.
Like, you know, they take, like, the same, yeah. They take...
I go back to my old saying, USA. Mm-hmm. That's how he starts phone calls with Kat, so she doesn't get confused over there in Scotland and Ireland.
Yeah.
You hear the story about this woman. She's a weather person. She's on Good Morning America, in fact. And she ended up saying that she was raped in Central Park, and she wasn't. And she admitted that she never
Where
was.
Where was she raped? Oh, no.
Nowhere.
It wasn't the location that was the lie?
No.
You know what? I'm going to say the obvious, but that is just horrible for everybody.
Heidi Jones was arrested for perpetrating the ultimate snow job, falsely claiming to cops that a man had tried to rape her while she was jogging in Central Park.
What? And there was a specific man that she pointed at?
Listen to this. Heidi Jones, who anchors the station's weekend evening weather coverage and fills in on Good Morning America, was charged Monday with filing a false report, a Class A misdemeanor. If convicted, she could face up to a year in jail or a $1,000 fine and really get raped. Jones spun a story that proved to be...
Or a $1,000 fine?
Yeah, or a $1,000 fine. Jones spun a story that proved to be as unreliable as a 5-day forecast.
rape is so funny. Where's the news?
Well, not rape is funny.
Weather is funny.
Telling police last month that she was assaulted in September while pounding the pavement in the city's backyard, the sources said. She's 37. She told cops she was jogging in the park on the afternoon of September 24th when a Hispanic man in his 30s or 40s grabbed her from behind, dragged her into a wooded area, and attempted to rape her. So that's always something when they add ethnicity to it, you know?
Yeah, to their fake perpetrator.
She told police that the would-be rapist was scared off by two passerbys who came to her aid. But for cops, the story was all wet.
They could tell from when she said passerbys, it's passersby, actually.
They were not pleased.
So nobody punches you on a regular basis, Mike.
Not anymore.
Okay.
The first clue was that she waited until November 24th, 2 months later, to report the alleged attack. At the time, the sources said she told police that 3 days earlier, on November 21st, the same man somehow found her again and harassed her, saying, "I know you went to the police." So she just kept adding things to the story. After cops took her report, detectives conducted a lengthy investigation, and they looked for, you know, video, they checked for witnesses, they didn't find anything. They came up empty-handed, they went to talk to Jones again, and noticed inconsistencies in her story. After being confronted with the discrepancies, she admitted she had pulled the story out of thin air. Jones said she concocted the tale in a plea for sympathy to counter some unknown setback that she was experiencing in her personal life.
Oh, Christ.
Whatever that ordeal
she should have to say what that ordeal was.
Right. Whatever the ordeal, Jones has apparently hidden it well.
The ordeal was an actual rape.
Most of her public posts on both Facebook and Twitter, this is the death of most people. Facebook and Twitter have been bright and sunny for weeks. And one upbeat tweet posted November 21st, the day she was harassed, supposedly, by her make-believe attacker, she twits, "Here is your Turkey Day forecast, gobble gobble."
What are you doing?
She even remained upbeat as the cops closed in on her. "You guys ready for the Arctic chill?" she posted on her Facebook page Monday, the day she was arrested. "Ready or not, it's going to be bitterly cold tomorrow and Wednesday with highs sub-freezing and a wind chill to make your toes shake. Be careful." She worked for Channel 7 since 2005 back in Houston.
Is it at all possible to get a job after something like this?
You hope not.
You're a public figure.
You hope not.
Yeah,
just as a rapist.
Like I don't even...
No more?
I don't know if that's a job anymore.
Oh.
I won't even believe her weather. You know? I'm like, I don't think you...
The weather today is going to be pretty Mexican. And
did you see the video of the guy in Florida, Panama City, goes into a school board and has a problem? Supposedly his wife was fired for some reason from the school board. He's upset with the school board, takes out a gun, and starts shooting at people sitting down at these desks.
Now, I didn't know what Keith was showing me. He just said, "Here's a video. We're going to talk about this on the show." And granted, it said, "Hey, you know, this can contain graphic whatever." But I feel like the news says that all the time. I watched the video, floored.
Right.
Floored.
Here's what I don't want to happen.
Shocking.
I don't want anybody to listen. Just listen to me for a minute. I don't want anybody to get hurt.
This is a member of the school board.
What you want is the cops come in and kill you because you're mad because you said you're going to die today. But why? If this isn't worth it. This is a problem.
Takes out his
Please
gun.
Please don't. I'm going to kill you. Don't you understand?
And then he ends up getting shot down by, you assume, a security guard. It says in the news, it's saying the gunman, he missed. He's almost point blank range.
Yeah.
And well, people don't understand. It's you have to aim. It takes a skill to aim a gun. You can't just point the gun. You will not hit your target. This is proof.
I have to admit, when I saw the distance between him and them, that he missed was pretty incredible.
He missed with all those shots?
Yeah.
So there were maybe three or four shots from him, the rest from a security guard. But yes, he missed from those three or four shots. He hits the desk instead of the guy. He tries another guy. You know, he's missing everything. Then he goes to shoot back at the security guard that shot him, and he moves his face and shoot. So he's not even facing his target now. He's moving his face like, if it hits me, it'll hit the side of my face.
He's seen movies where he's seen like The Matrix, and he's like, this is what I'm doing.
So he's just moving his face out of the way, not looking, and just, you know, shooting all over the place. So thank God.
And that guard is shooting him in his body that is not moving.
And it says that the guy ended up shooting himself, but it doesn't look like that to the video. It looks like he was shot dead.
Maybe after he was shot.
A bullet could have ricocheted too.
It looked like he was shot and it hit him, but maybe it didn't kill him and then he shot himself. Because it looked like he was shot.
It's weird they stopped the video there. It's like these YouTube videos where you see a stripper dancing on a pole and she hits her head and they cut it off right away. And I'm like, 2 more seconds.
What would have happened?
I want to see what she does. Yeah, I want to see what this guy does. 2 more seconds. And cut. You get the gist. Like, what? Show it or don't show it.
You have to, if we're going to post this on our forums, you got to feel for those guys. As soon as the gun came out, he goes, please don't. And you just know, that's all you can do is please don't and just hope that the guy snaps back into reality.
He's 56 years old, the shooter, Clay Duke. He confronted the Bay District School Board, telling everyone to leave except the men in the 5-member panel. So he let a woman go. It was just one woman who left. But the woman came back, the news says, and used her purse to hit the guy in the arm with his gun. But I look at the video. I don't see her.
I didn't see that.
So I don't know.
That must have been later.
Who knows if everything's going so fast?
That said it happened first, and then she went down on the ground. And he went, like, you're a stupid bitch, and then went back up. But maybe he let her leave. I don't know. But
we'll get to the bottom of this, listeners.
That's right. That's right. Well, let me mention that. That's a sad note to leave on. Today's show is brought to you by Two Birds, One Blog. Two Birds, One Blog is an award-winning comedy blog known as The Thinking Man's Beavis and Butthead.
Agreed.
Visit twobirdsoneblog.com. It's better than working. And if you want to see Mike Kaplan have feelings, you go to his website and you find out what he's up to. You go to mikekaplan.com.
Yep.
It's spelled M-Y-Q.
And you go there and you see what he's doing. You see where he's performing.
Buy the CD. My CD was in a couple of really nice write-ups of like top 10, like end of the year comedy CDs. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
I like it. I love it. It's called Vegan Mind Meld is the title. And I'm in it.
Oh, yeah. You can listen to Keith and read his name.
You open the cover. I'm right there inside, and then myself. So thank you again for that.
And you're welcome.
It's an honor to be on it. It's a fantastic CD, and I do recommend it.
Thank you. My next CD will have a thank you and a you're welcome list, and you'll be you're welcomed on that one.
All right. All right. Now we're talking. I like this guy. Well, Mike, I wish you the best.
Thank you.
There's many loves out there.
Thank you both.
I don't know how you do it. I couldn't have a relationship like that. You live in the future.
Understood.
Also, Micah Fox will be on tomorrow's show. So
if you guys could not talk about any of this.
Yeah. We're going to cross-reference all that information.
Also, I mean, my dream relationship, I recognize that it might not be reality, but I might just be happy enough to have all the women in a chronologically. That'd be fine, too.
Okay, on that note, ladies, go see him perform live.
So, Chemda, not you tonight.
Oh, jeez.
Isn't that funny? Like, you're hurt now a little bit?
Yeah. Chemda, look, we're going to turn off the microphones, and then we'll talk.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. KeithAndTheGirl.com